This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, hootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. The High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report in a moment, as well as your calls on whether the Eagles should go out and take a big swing on a star on defense. 215-592-9494. You know this show is always informed. Instead of just guessing on the air, we always read everything.
All about accuracy.
So as it turns out, the NFLPA report is actually printed, and you can read why the players said what they said. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, thank you to Lisa on Twitter who said this. So the family thing is that the Eagles are, I think, one of three teams that don't provide child care. They do provide a family room there, but they don't provide child care. And the travel, here are the three things about the travel. 43% of Eagles players believe they have a comfortable amount of personal space on team flights, which is 30th out of 32. So most players don't think they have enough personal space. That sounds like a gym issue.
Well, and it's because, listen, it's not their fault. They're the biggest offensive line in football.
Right, yeah, maybe they...
Good point.
Maybe they just big guys.
Bigger plane.
Well, I would imagine those guys are the ones that are sitting in those first class seats.
Well, I'm getting to that.
Yeah, go to that.
I'm
going to
get to that. So the players feel like their team's travel schedule is not very efficient, ranking 26th out of 32. But here is the last one. Players feel they should get the first class seats on team flights instead of the coaching staff.
I bleed for this city!
little tiny Kellen Moore up there in that giant seat.
Yeah, wow. You tell them, boys.
Well, we got to ask Jordan about this tomorrow.
Love it. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah, you tell them, boys. Get those coaches out of first class seats, man.
I just wish someone wrote in there the stewardess was a Cowboys fan.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
Forever. Would have been the best forever.
Well, he keeps it up. He might not be on the floor.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to. Yeah, don't go after. Don't bite the hand that feeds you.
It's funny. Like, I want to stop him from doing it because I want to protect him. But then also, the info is always so good. I can't stop him.
I know.
You know?
Like, more info about Ike and I on the flight. Less info.
Yeah, less info about what's going on with the Eagles.
He said something effective. If Big Dom knows what's good for him or something.
Probably the wrong guy.
Not that guy.
There's one guy in the Eagles organization. Maybe the entire city.
Yeah.
It's Big Dom.
Yeah. If there's a guy in the organization that walks around in a sweatsuit with an Italian flag on it or whatever, is like his name is Big Anything.
Yeah,
that's the guy. It's like not that guy.
It's amazing how Dom is blown up.
Yes, he sure.
It's
has.
Unbelievable.
It is amazing.
I hope he does eventually get a movie written about him because it's all setting up for
the book, but he won't.
Because
the best stories are the ones that he can't tell.
Yep.
You know? It would incriminate a lot of people. A lot of people. Before we get back
to... Don't look at me.
Yeah. We got to find out more. We got to get Big Dom in here for an hour and grill him about Ike. All right. Let's talk a little baseball before we get back to the bird.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Here's Jackie Baseball.
So listen, a couple weeks ago, I exclusively reported that the Phillies are going to make a lineup change.
Yes,
and we're going to put Trey Turner at the top of the lineup, and in my natural baseball instinct, that means that Bryce Harper is going to be batting two because he's one of your best players, and he's going to get more at-bats. And in the playoffs, what has sunk then the last three postseasons has been teams pitching around Bryce Harper in the biggest games of the season. Well, for the second straight time with Bryce in the lineup, he is batting third behind Kyle Schwarber. And I just don't get it. And I think this is turning into a Bryce issue, not a Phillies issue. Because analytically, it doesn't make any sense. Kyle Schwarber's not too old hitter. Kyle Schwarber should never be. Kyle Schwarber, like, just keep him at leadoff at this point. Like, there's no point. There's no point. The point of the move was to put Trey Turner at leadoff to get some speed on the bases, Bryce Harper batting two, and have real protection behind him. Not getting Bohm in the same exact spot he's been for the last three postseasons, or Castellanos, which goes back to 2022. Like, this is another example of Bryce Bat not wanting to move up. And listen, there's audio of it if you want to hear that. This is Bryce before the season talking about how he's a three hitter.
Obviously, I'm a three hole hitter, and I have been. But whenever they tell me to hit two or four, I've done that in the past, as you guys know. So I want to win. So I don't care what that takes. You want to start out hot, and you're going to go the ebbs and flows of the season, obviously. But as a team, we just need to understand that to just play the game all year long, play it right, play hard, take the ebbs and flows, and get hot at the right time, obviously, by the end of the year. And, I mean, obviously, I want to win the division. That's the first thing, and then get into the postseason and stuff like that. But it doesn't matter if you're the best team in baseball or not. You just got to go in there and play the game and do it the right way all the way through.
He says, first, I'm a three-hole hitter.
Yes.
And that's all you needed to hear.
And then he kind of chuckles at two and four, by the way.
He's done both of that.
Like, yes.
The best thing for the team is Bryce batting second. And I know that we're on this. Everyone's got to be comfortable, you know, with what they need, what they want. But he wouldn't go to the outfield to sign a first baseman, which would have made the offense that much better, and won't bat two. Like, it's annoying. It's annoying. He should be batting two right now. Like, and I know it's spring training. Maybe they're trying some things out, but I don't buy that. I don't think he wants to bat. I don't think he wants to bat second. I think he wants to bat third because he wants to see more pitches, which, sure, I get. It's one at bat. It's the beginning of the game. The best thing for the Phillies is Bryce Harper batting two, and I hope he changes his mind.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think the biggest thing, I think it helps the lineup, and I've said it a bunch of times, I would actually hit the lead off. I would have Bryce hitting lead off, but I get not doing that. I think the biggest thing is not even what it does to the lineup. It is, if he would hit second, I think it sends a message,
of course,
Jack and Ike, to the
yes.
rest of the team.
Yes.
That Trey, this thing about you not wanting to go to the outfield, or Schwarber doesn't want to lead off, all these things. If the best player on the team sacrifices, then everybody else has to fall in line because he does it. And I just think these are talented players. I think they're good guys, but there's a little too much comfort in the locker room and in the clubhouse, and I think there's a little too much me and what I'm comfortable with, you know.
Yeah, I put this on. You got to go with Dave Dombrowski, because I think Topper is too much of a nice guy. He's more of a let the guys figure it out, and if this is what they're comfortable with doing, and this is what we do, versus being one of these types of managers that's like, well, this is the way we're going to do it, and you'll get comfortable with it. But if it's coming from upstairs, right? Like, this is the only way, to me, you get to a star like Bryce Harper or Trey Turner, who's making that type of money, is that it has to be above the manager.
The guy paying you, basically.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It has to be someone that's pulling the purse strings, and no one wants to upset Bryce. Because he's Bryce Harper, right? They all, and listen, I got a certain level of admiration for him as well. But we're just talking baseball. This isn't about how much we like Bryce Harper, respect him, and all that other stuff. We all love the guy. We know how great of a ball player he is. But this is about what should be best for the baseball team and for the entire baseball team and how it impacts everyone else. And to your point, if they see he's willing to do that, even though it's clear it's not something he's jumping at the opportunity to do, right? It would mean that he's willing to sacrifice for the betterment of the team. And then now Topper has sort of the cachet, or at least the backing, when he goes to the other guys to do it.
Castellanos and everything.
All those guys, like you just do. And I don't know if this is something Bryce is like, yeah, we're not doing the whole two or four hole thing. I'm a three hole hitter, and this is where I'm a hit.
Yeah, well, I think it comes down to comfortability. I think that's what it is. I think he likes seeing pitches. But again, it's just, all right, to make it a Jalen comparison, Jalen was okay, quote unquote, with it then turning into a running offense. And he could have, you know, thrown a stink about it.
Yep.
They had the bye week. They had tough conversations at the bye week. The bye week heard around the world. I just think there has to be some level of give here. It can't be just everyone gets to do what they want. I mean, that was our argument about Rob Thompson and whether or not he should be back. Is someone ruling with more of an iron fist in there? They've had the country club vibe for the last couple of years.
Right. Yet, there has to be some moment where he's hitting in that two-hole spot this
spring. There has
spring.
To be. They are too comfortable in there. And whether it is the manager, whether it's another player, whether it's Dave Dombrowski, nobody feels like if they say, no, I don't want to do it, that there's any consequence right. to it at all. There's no consequence. So I only bring this up because it went through my mind. People got mad at me when I mentioned it online earlier. I just think about the extension. And I think about him wanting it and saying, well, if I'm going to do something that I'm not saying that he's holding one over the other, but I do wonder, you say Dave Dombrowski, right? So I wonder if Dave Dombrowski even wants to have that conversation with him when he knows this other thing is looming a little bit. The extension thing's been around there for a couple of years.
Yeah, it makes sense. I didn't even think about that.
And Bryce Harper sees everyone who is, you know, big stars now signing these contracts for double
basically
what
making
he
twice
makes.
As much as he is. Yeah.
I just think I understand his position on the extension. Look what I've changed the image
the culture,
of the team,
yep.
the culture, mm-hmm. all that stuff. I get it, but you still got 6 years left on your deal. I just wonder if that's part of it, is there's a little bit of, not tension, but it's harder to ask somebody to do something when that is...
Oh, there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
Completely makes sense, especially if it's something he doesn't really want to do.
Right.
Hey, you threw him an extra 3 years and $100 million in there, then maybe he is hitting in the two-hole.
He did an eighth for $100 million.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah, it makes sense.
Jack, do you think at some point this spring he will hit second? Is this because then you look at the lineup and they're bunching up righties and lefties now because of
which
this.
Is completely against what Topper wants to do.
Of course it is. Listen, Schwarber had a good year against lefties last year. We don't need them hitting back to back. Just split them up. Split them up. If that's the opening day lineup, I'd be incredibly disappointed. It's perfect. It's Turner, it's Harper, and then you have a bunch of hitters behind them that can give them real protection.
And by the way, Harper, another guy who can go to first to third on a single, can go from second to home on a single. Schwarber, not that guy either.
Well, and think about how it bunches up the rest of the lineup.
I know.
You know, we were texting about this earlier. If you do that with the back-to-back lefties there, now you got all these righties stacked up, and you're going to force Stott in there somewhere?
Stott looked good today.
Two for three. So he's going to be in there just to get a lefty in there.
Yeah, or Kepler.
Or Kepler, yeah. Or
Rinconis.
I'm still learning Kepler.
You want Rinconis in there?
I can't even say his name
Yeah,
right
you'll
now.
Get there. You gotta roll the R a little bit.
Rinconis?
Rinconis.
Rinconis.
Rinconis?
Rinconis. Former second-round pick. But it's an annoying thing.
I don't want to learn Kepler yet because of Merrifield. I know they're not the same thing, but I learned Whit Merrifield, and it didn't do me any
good. Well, how long until people start calling him Kepler?
I've already thought about it twice.
You almost got to remind yourself it's Kepler, not Kepler.
Kepler.
But didn't we have a Kepler here?
Did we have another Kepler?
No. They worked here.
Oh, Keffer.
Oh, it's Keffer.
Yeah.
It's close.
Yeah. That guy led this station for a little bit.
He did.
Yeah, Spike left the station in his hands.
Yeah, Spike left us high and dry.
They told me I had to leave.
Yeah, we had the basically high school student running WIP. We're the minor leagues.
They told me it was July 1, you go to New York, so I went to New York.
Yep.
I was still here a couple days, I think. Wasn't I? No, that was after I wasn't here.
You were checked out. I mean, you couldn't even say hi to you.
Well, that's a lie. I wasn't checked out. What happens is when everybody knows that you're leaving.
We checked out.
Yeah. When everybody knows that you're leaving, the first 2 weeks, everybody listens. Yeah. After that, you're
still here? Yeah. This guy's still here?
That's why after the announcement came out at WFAN, which I think was in January.
January, yeah.
By the end of February, I was going to them. I was like, hey, these guys, they don't even care that I'm here anymore. I could not show up and they wouldn't even care. You got to get me down there. Nobody's listening to me anymore. I just go and hang out. I take a, took a 2-hour walk every day. Would talk to Jack about the afternoon show for an hour. Wasn't doing anything anymore. I would love to work. I'm a worker, right. You know.
Now you're right, though. The employees, they pretty much like, yeah, you're out of here. Yeah, so we don't have to listen to you anymore.
Yeah. What the, why would I listen to what you say? It's going to be a different guy here in a month anyway.
Yep.
All right. 215-592-9494. OG Wade, you're on WIP.
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
Brother?
OG.
Hey, man, that was one of the best Jackie baseball moments, man, segments, man, in a while. You know what I mean? You finally got a little Bryce, you know, backing, what you want to call it.
There you go,
know?
Yeah.
He's
Jack
a little critical.
The,
yeah,
the fire
finally
there.
Been a little critical.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
I was impressed, man.
Now, listen, you know keep saying? It down. Pipe down.
I'm just saying. I'm
artist wood I had ever touched.
All last year. The Phillies need to run the ball. You know what I'm saying? I'm watching the day, and I seen they was up. It was down 2-1. And you know when they took off? It's 9-2 now when they started running the ball. You know what I'm saying? I'm just telling you.
It's not football.
It works even in baseball, man.
Yeah, what is your – can you come up with a four-point system for baseball? I would love to hear it.
Yeah, I'm working on it right now.
You got to pitch well. You got to make no errors in the field. You don't need home runs, just base-to-base. Yeah.
You gotta have something that has to be about the closer, right?
Bullpen can't allow runs.
Yeah, bullpen.
I need to see the ball on the ground, man. I need to see that ball running. You know what I'm saying? Hit that ball out there and let that big, what they call that, small ball?
Yeah.
That's what's needed. That's what's been missing with this team.
There it
is. You know what I'm saying?
Small
all
ball.
That's going for the fences.
That's the run
that
the ball
stuff.
Of baseball.
Spike, watch your mouth, Spike.
No, it just is. But they were right about running the ball, so they might be right about small ball.
Yeah. Right.
What, you know what I mean? And Spike, I got to congratulate you. You on a heater, man. You kicked Chuck's ass yesterday. You just got Chris Middletown. Get the hell away from OG.
All right.
You want to stay on that heater, stay away from the OG with your debate.
Well, it was actually Ike that nailed Chris Middletown. I got to give him credit on that.
Jomo.
Yeah, the Mauro Jomo thing.
Man, I really want the Eagles to stay.
Can't
get your phone together, OG.
I have bigger news. I actually have. Can you hit the breaking news thing, Jack, please?
Breaking news.
I have more breaking Paul George news.
Whoa. Can we handle this?
This is huge, and we may. This is so huge, we may have to get a hold of Elliot on the plane. So I'm going to read an analysis of the Paul George signing, and I want you to tell me who had this analysis. Okay. This is right after the Paul George signing. Here we go. This is a huge win for the Sixers. The biggest free agent available pick them. A win from the franchise that has caught plenty of criticism over the past few seasons. PG fits in perfectly with Maxie and Embiid. Obviously, he's not in his prime, but you couldn't build a more perfect player to play between Maxie and Embiid. Credit to Morey for pulling this off. He put the cap space plan together and it worked. There's some obvious risk with this. Giving a 34-year-old a 4-year max contract has some potential to be a major problem quickly, but the Sixers are now a top-5 team in the NBA. It's hard to say no to a chance to be as good as they should be. The only team better than the Sixers in the East are the Celtics, and it is very hard to repeat an issue the Sixers won't have to deal with. The Sixers window with Embiid and PG is probably 2 years. PG still does two things at an elite level. He shoots threes and he can create his own offense when needed. He has some of the best isolation numbers in the league, and he is without question one of the best shooters. He can be the difference between winning a game 6 in the second round and not. Who had that analysis?
I know exactly who that is. That's Elliot.
Elliot Shore Parks. Elliot Shore Parks.
I could tell the way that read. I'm like, that's Elliot right there.
We gave that guy a victory lap on Paul George. What are we doing?
Well,
he has to run backwards a lap.
Take the victory.
He has to come in here tomorrow, and instead of Jordan Mailata sitting on a chair, and Elliot has to get on his hands and knees, and Jordan has to sit on Elliot's back.
Wow, that got weird there for a second.
None of that. No. I mean, this is outrageous, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that first line said Elliot all the way.
Well, and at what point did he turn? I mean,
that's what happened. He turned.
But he couldn't have turned. I mean, like,
I know.
This is the analysis. A
huge
win for the Sixers.
From that to where he's at now.
No, and telling me told you so on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's a little much now. Yeah.
The told you so stuff. And I gave him Embiid, by the way.
Yeah.
I gave him Embiid.
Yeah.
I gave him Embiid. I gave him Embiid. He said Embiid was cooked. But this is outrageous.
That reads like an Elliott.
To be honest, this is more praise than I gave Daryl Morey for the signing.
Well, he'll say you get further information, you updated information, and you got to change your opinion.
Yeah. This is what he should have to live with.
Well, I mean, listen.
As the offseason analysis.
The fact that you found it.
Thank you to Brutus Maximus on Twitter who tagged me.
Brutus Maximus.
He said, I just saw a reply to me and Elliot, and it said, Spike, you need to read this.
Wow.
And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I was like, is this a fake Elliot Shore Parks? Because he said that Paul George was cooked the whole time. He's told you showing me up and down and up and down and up and down. We might need him here tomorrow to read this out loud on the radio.
Yeah.
I am furious with this.
I can tell.
We can tell.
Can this hurt him? We have Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings coming up next. Can it hurt him in this? He's a liar. He's a liar. He's a fraud.
There's never any scoops.
Yeah, none. He was wrong about Quinyon Mitchell. He was wrong about drafting a guard.
Here comes the barrage.
He was the guy's wrong. He was wrong about CJGJ.
His hair doesn't even look that good.
No, he's not even dressed that well. He's short. He's got tiny feet.
Small hands too.
Small hands.
He could not be a GM in the NFL.
He could not.
Oh, Elliot. Oh boy.
Well, the problem with Elliot is that he just.
There's so many, Jack.
Well, I know, but he swings.
Yeah.
He swings so hard.
Yeah.
You know, easy.
What are you talking about in there?
I'm talking about his takes, not saying his personal life.
He does. He does. Everything is. He does swing pretty hard for his take.
He's a swinger.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm so mad. All right.
Oh, man.
215-592-9494. If you want to call Elliot a fraud, you
that
go.
That was such an Elliot article, man.
I know.
It's just, it just
not
read,
an article.
It
doesn't write those anymore.
Yeah.
No
read
article.
Like Elliot, man.
It's just this guy's paying Twitter $12 a month so he can write the tweets this long and then come in the nerve to tell me. The nerve.
The nerve.
The nerve. Okay. All right, 215-592-9494. Do the Eagles need to take a big swing in free agency? We don't know what Elliot thinks because he could say one thing and then tell you said another thing, you know, in a month or two. We have the Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings coming up next. We are about three weeks away from actually awarding. What do we say? March 19th,
I believe.
March 19th, we will award it. So no one has reported the Nick Sirianni extension yet, which is the golden goose. We will get to that next. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike Spike and Fritz.